This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Daryl Rotter is brought to you by Scheiben Jewelers, Cleveland's premier jewelry store, and he joins us right now. Daryl, good morning.
Hello, boys. How are you?
Now, Daryl, I know that you I know you cover the Browns, but you're also our Cleveland sports insider. So Lima is talking about trades here. You know what this goofball wants to do?
What's that?
He wants to get a trade involved, and he says that Darius Garland can go and that the Cavs could bring in Jalen Suggs, Alex Caruso, or TJ McConnell, and that would be better for the Cavs. Should we drug test him right now?
Probably. Okay. I have to...
That's kind of a twist on what I said.
That's not a twist on what you said.
Remember,
that's what you said.
I don't remember putting that in the trade machine.
Oh, is that traded? Is that a twist on what you said?
Let me express what I was saying is that...
Look at him backtrack.
Chris Fedor said yesterday, Cavs have mastered the regular season, but they need players that can master the 16-game gauntlet of the playoffs.
He's 100% correct.
And I think we all agree on that. I think we are all there. And some players can do both. They're great in the regular season, and they're great in the playoffs. I don't know that guys like Darius Garland are, and there's a reason guys that are worse than him, like Alex Caruso, TJ McConnell, there's a reason those guys can elevate teams in the playoffs. The game is totally different. And I think people need to start paying attention to the differences so that we can formulate a team that might actually be better, even if those guys are not as good as Darius Garland. That's all I'm saying.
Well, I do believe that this Cavalier team has reached its ceiling, unfortunately. They showed you what they can do in the regular season, and that's win the number one seed and be amongst the best record finishers in the NBA. But they're a second-round exit. You can't run it back. In spite of what Kobe Altman said at his nearly hour-long season wrap-up about keeping the core four together and not making major changes and sticking with these guys. He brought up Oklahoma City breaking through, and he brought up Boston breaking through. Here's the thing, though. Before they broke through, they made a move. Both of those teams made moves.
The Cavs made a move. They traded 3 first-round picks for Donovan Mitchell.
I understand that, Ken. What I'm talking about, though, is getting over the hump, so to speak. They made a move the season before they got over the hump. And I think the Cavaliers need to make a move to get over the hump.
They were a playoff team without Donovan. Well, excuse me, were they a play-in team without Donovan Mitchell? Okay, well, that's a move to get over the hump. And then they didn't get over the hump. They're on the hump right now.
This is 3 straight years where they've not been able to get through. And this was the year that they were supposed to be fueled by the previous 2 years to get through. Then they go and get DeAndre Hunter at the trade deadline, thinking that that was the move that was going to get them over the top, help them better match up with Boston. Well, they didn't even get to play Boston. I'm not convinced that this team, as presently constructed, all of a sudden the light bulb is going to go off for them as far as how they have to play in the playoffs, because I don't think it's in everyone's DNA within that locker room. For as great of a group as they are, for as talented as they are, I kind of lean toward Team Lima here. They're missing what it takes to win in the playoffs, and it's not Donovan Mitchell's fault. I don't think it's Evan Mobley's fault. They're putting a lot on Mobley. It sure sounds like that they're, you know, really their success or failures resting on Evan Mobley's shoulders. Now, I don't know necessarily that's fair, but Jared Allen doesn't help you in the playoffs. He helps you in the regular season, double-double machine, but he doesn't help you in the playoffs. Darius Garland, unfortunately, he just is getting beat up all the time, and I don't know if that helps you in the playoffs. So I do think Kobe Altman, not only does he have tough decisions to make this offseason, but Before we start throwing trades out there, we got to make sure that they actually work with within the second apron rules, too. I'm seeing all these fantastic trades getting thrown out there, and it's like half the stuff doesn't even, the Cavs aren't even allowed to do it because they're in the second apron right now. So, you know, and that's another challenge for Coby Altman, to see if they can get under that second apron so that they have a little more flexibility to make this a better basketball team come playoff time.
Go ahead.
That seems like Daryl agreed with me.
I know. You guys are just in a great big fat agreement fest, which it's just not. You guys are making moves to make moves, and I don't like that.
I'm not making moves to make moves,
you're both making the classic mistake where you're frustrated. There's teams that are better than you.
The classic mistake.
You think Jared Allen all of a sudden the switch is going to flip for him in the playoffs and he's going to be tough?
No. I'm talking about Darius Garland.
The Celtics made the year before they won it all. The mistake, apparently, that Oklahoma City made trading for Caruso and Hartenstein.
Did they make those before the second apron? Did they make those before the second apron? Did they or did they not? Did they make those before the second? I'm asking. Did they make those moves before the second apron?
What do you mean before the?
Because you said that they made moves. Were they under the constrictions that the Cavaliers have with the second apron when they made that?
The Celtics
when they made
had
those
to think
moves.
About it. They knew it was looming.
They knew it was looming, but were they under the constrictions right then when they made those trades?
Yeah, I mean, the Cavs can get under the second apron depending on what they do with Jerome and Okoro and Merrill and Wade.
I was asking the question. I know it came off a mean-spirited way.
It's fine.
But I'm asking the question. But when I'm talking about Darius Garland, I think Evan Mobley still has more room for growth. I know that. I definitely believe that. I believe that Darius Garland has more room for growth. I think Donovan has reached his ceiling, but his ceiling is still better than everybody's. And I think that Jaren Allen has reached his ceiling. But I'm not just going to make these crazy moves for Alex Caruso or TJ McConnell and then start to talk about postseason stuff when I still can believe more in some of these guys. And I don't want to go and make moves because I'm mad that they lost. I'm mad that they lost, but I don't want to go ahead and ruin what could possibly be still a good run just by making a move because I'm angry. I'm not going to do that. That's what other teams have done in the past when they were trying to be as good as other basketball teams and end up ruining their franchise when you bring in the wrong people. I mean, good God, you trade away. If this one didn't work out your way, you are saying that the Cavaliers 20 years from now will be the team that traded away Darius Garland for Alex Caruso or TJ McConnell. I mean, that's laughable. It's laughable. Go ahead, guys.
Well, you're saying it's laughable, but I've seen those guys play well in the playoffs. We're waiting on Garland. So, I don't know. Maybe you'll be
I've
right.
I've seen other
maybe
guys play well in the playoffs. But are they still the players? You agreed with me just in the last segment that Darius Garland can still be a good playoff player. And certainly Evan Mobley can be, which I know you're not talking about trading away Evan Mobley.
Yeah.
Listen, I'm meeting you halfway. I think that Jaren Allen has reached his ceiling, and I think he's a bit of a plug inside. I'm meeting you halfway on that. But when it comes to Darius Garland, I'm sorry. I still think there's a lot more meat left on that bone.
I think all options have to be on the table when it comes to both Jarrett and Darius. That's all I'm saying.
Okay,
I'm not saying make a trade for the sake of making a trade. I do think they need to trade Jarrett Allen.
Fair enough.
I don't think they win an NBA championship. As much as I love Jarrett, I just don't think that he is NBA championship material. I just don't. I know what I see in the playoffs, and it's not there. So, but as far as Darius goes, I don't feel like he's untouchable. I don't think he's untouchable like Evan Mobley and Donovan Mitchell are. That's all I'm saying.
Okay. I'll meet you there, too.
All right. Daryl, when it comes to the Browns, national media is starting to get in on whether or not Cleveland is making too big of a deal about OTAs, about the depth chart.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You've been
when
there.
When don't we make too big of a deal about the depth chart and OTAs? It's an annual tradition here. You kidding me?
Well,
We're getting Super Bowl tickets printed at this point.
Well, if Shedeur Sanders truly is the number one NFL story right at this point, does it stand to reason that there is going to be a lot of discussion about that depth chart, even if he is just fourth?
he's the number one NFL story because he's the number one player for engagement. I post a 6-second clip of him throwing a football. I was actually mocking it the other day, and like people were hating on me. They didn't get the joke.
Uh-oh.
I was mocking it. You know, I posted a 6-second clip and said, hey, Shedeur Sanders throws a football, news at 11, because they can't get enough Shedeur Sanders content. You do that, and you're good for at least 50,000 views on X. He's a story because he's popular. I don't think he's a story because he's getting first-team reps right now. He's the fourth quarterback on this depth chart. And I'm getting a kick out of all the hot take artists around the national media talking about how Shedeur Sanders is going to win the starting quarterback job. He's got to leapfrog three other dudes to win that job right now. Did he look better on Wednesday than he did rookie camp? Absolutely. He looked like, and I posted that too. It looked like he has been putting in a lot of time, working on the mechanics, working on the throwing the football and all that. Look, in my view, tremendously better than he did during rookie camp. And he looked pretty good during rookie camp, okay? But I think that the Browns are, this is all by design. I really feel like the Browns want to make sure when they put Shedeur Sanders on the field, they're not doing it because they have to. They're not doing it because they're trying to sell jerseys in the team shop. They're not doing it because the fans want it. They will do it because he's ready and can help them win football games. I really feel like they want to set this kid up to be successful rather than just put him out there to placate the media and the fans.
The All-Rider brought to you by Scheiben Jewelers, Cleveland's premier jewelry store. So I it's weird. I'm hearing the national media kind of have this back and forth of, well, he's a fifth-round pick. We got to make sure he even makes the team. And then I'm hearing Colin Cowherd say,
he's going to make the team.
He's going to start. Well, that's the thing, Daryl. I
Andrew Berry does not cut rookies that he drafts.
Well, Daryl,
that just doesn't happen.
Daryl, in New York and L.A., like they're having this big argument. I'm like, hey, if you put boots on the ground in Cleveland, Ohio, or even listen in, I think every single fan's like, yeah, he's making the team. The question is whether or not he and Dylan Gabriel are making the team. The question is whether or not Joe Flacco would be jettisoned or Kenny Pickett would be jettisoned to start this year. And I'd be willing to go as far, and I think a lot of Browns fans would be willing to go as far as like, yeah, well, there's a probably 80, 90% chance that we'll see both these guys start a game for the Cleveland Browns.
Yeah, because that's just the way it goes, right?
Yeah.
I mean, the frustrating thing for the Browns is every time they have a sound, solid plan in place, circumstances always seem to get in their way and force them to deviate from those plans. Yeah, do I think Shedeur Sanders is going to start a game at some point for the Browns this year? Yeah, probably.
Yeah.
Not necessarily because that's what the Browns want, but because circumstances are going to dictate that. And I 100% agree with you. For me, they're going to keep three guys, and it's going to come down between Kenny Pickett and Joe Flacco. And right now, it's a coin toss for me. We've had this conversation, Ken. Like, looking at just from a philosophical standpoint, taking a step back, philosophical standpoint, I probably go with Kenny Pickett over Joe Flacco because, well, he's younger and trying to see if there's a little something there, right? Can he be fixed or whatever? And if not, okay, then you turn it over to one of the rookies and see what those guys have this year. And then you have a better informed decision what to do with those first round picks come April 2026. But Joe Flacco, beloved here. He's a winner. Just listen to him talk. And the maturity, he's a fantastic influence within the locker room, the consummate professional, still can spin it out there, and you can sell him to fans, like, hey, we're not tanking the season, we are trying to win right out of the gate. I'm torn between which avenue I feel like the Browns are going to take here, but I do find it very difficult to believe they're going to successfully keep all four guys and that they're going to cut Dylan Gabriel and Shedeur Sanders because, again, Andrew Berry does not cut his draft picks as rookies.
All right, another thing that I'm seeing people mention, Daryl, is that we talk so much about Myles Garrett not being at OTAs when we're talking about his leadership qualities, but Joel Bitonio also not at OTAs and hardly a mention. Daryl, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, I really don't care who shows up to OTAs right
now. So if nobody came, you'd be fine with that, with the Browns. You wouldn't ask any questions.
Outside
Minnesota,
of
Minnesota, every single player did attend.
I know. Outside of the quarterbacks and stuff, like Miles being on vacation, this is, as Kevin Stefanski said, this stuff's voluntary. This isn't the first time Myles Garrett's missed an OTA. Joe Bitonio, you know, these guys come and go during OTAs as well. Keep that in mind. They come one day, maybe don't come the next day. So I just, I can't, I'm sorry, and I know you're looking for me to do this, but I can't work myself into a shoot over the fact that Myles Garrett's hanging out in
Japan
right now.
Wait, you thought that Daryl, you thought that he was trying to get you worked up?
Yeah, it's Lima. Come on, it's Friday, it's Lima.
You don't
of
know
course,
that.
Yeah.
Maybe he was just asking you, the realistic thought of what you wanted,
well, how
what
do you, think
you believe.
Jim, how do you
have
think,
you said any of this to Nick? He was very upset
Daryl,
about this
how,
earlier this week.
How do you think that Jimmy Haslam, who went out of his way to reference the leadership
I'm
that
aware.
He'd like to see, how do you think Jimmy felt about seeing on the day that the OTAs began that he almost went out of his way to point out that not only was he not there, he wasn't on the same continent?
I will say this. The optics look bad, right? Just got the big contract extension. The Browns gave him a lot of money to, you know, be happy to stay here after he wanted out of here, right? But, you know, Miles is going to do what he's going to do, number one. Number two, he's not a leader. Like, I say this all the time. One of the primary problems the Browns have is they try and force leadership upon guys who are not leaders.
Mm-hmm.
And the players vote on the team captains, and they vote for the popular guys in the locker room. And popular guys in the locker room aren't always good leaders either. I'm not knocking Miles. It's not in his personality to be a leader. He is a great player. He is a future Hall of Famer. But that doesn't mean he's a leader. Deshaun Watson, they voted him a team captain. What did that dude ever do to earn being a team captain for this organization? I kind of feel like Kevin Stefanski ought to pick the captains on the team. And the captains on the team should be the guys who lead by example. That's just me. That's just my take on it. I realize that's not how Stefanski does things. I realize that's not necessarily how the Browns do things. It's not the first time we agree to disagree on something they do. But I think that they get the leadership thing wrong so many times. And if they would, you know, if they'd get that part right, I think it would help them exponentially when it comes to trying to win football games on Sunday.
Daryl Ryder, we thank him very much. He's brought to you by Scheiben Jewelers, Cleveland's premier jewelry store. Daryl, thank you.
You bet, guys. Have a great weekend.
The dangerous one. Getting ever so dangerous.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.